Welcome to Coochie Conversations, where we give you the real on all things women's health, spirituality, and motherhood. Empowering women to have sovereignty over themselves, we shine light on the disparities that women face daily as divine feminine beings. So steep your favorite tea, roll up your favorite smoke blend, and tune into this week's episode of Coochie Conversations. Peace Tribe, it's your girl Bianca Pittman, aka Divine Mother, giving you a fresh perspective. Last week we had Dayona on and Naj, where we spoke about, you know, the importance of having a doula, you know, being pregnant while Black. And then this week we have a wonderful guest on. Her name is Tracy Datt. Like myself, she's a home birth advocate. She's a homeschool advocate. And I feel like this was just a great segue from last episode into this episode, and like the importance or the option of having a home birth experience. As for me, I had my home birth about 6 months ago. We'll get into that spiel in a second, but I want to go into the history of the home birth because, like I say, you know, I always tell like my guests and stuff, or just people, like having a baby is not a medical condition per se. Absolutely. You know, and your ancestors were born at home. Many of our ancestors were born at home. And I just want to kind of like go back to our roots in that sense of, you know, trusting our bodies, trusting spirit, and really just letting nature take its course when it comes to, you know, us birthing babies into the world. So in the history of the home birth, so in the United States, there was a large shift towards hospital births beginning around 1900, when close to 100% of births were at home. Rates of home births fell to 50% in 1938 and to fewer than 1% in 1955. However, between 2004 and 2009, the number of home births in the United States rose. Traditionally and historically, other women has assisted women in childbirth. A special term evolved in the English language around 1300 to name women who made assistance in childbirth their vocation, midwife. Midwife literally means with woman. However, a midwife was a description of a social role of a woman who was with a woman in childbirth to mediate social arrangements for women's bodily experiences. So I don't know if you ever watched the documentary Aftershock.
No, actually, the documentary that made me want to home birth was called The Business of Being Born. Have you seen that one with Ricky?
No, but somebody actually told me I should watch that.
That's what made me make the choice. And it talks a lot about the history and the way, to piggyback off of you, they make us feel like it's some kind of medical emergency that we have to be in a hospital for. And that's just not true. Our body is using that 10 months to train for a birth. There's nothing we need to do for that. And so similarly, when an athlete is training to be in the Olympics, do they go to the hospital if their heart rate is fast? Do they feel the need to go to the hospital when they're training to do things? No, and neither do we. We don't need to be in a hospital for the main event, and we don't need to be a hospital to train. And so, yeah, the business of being born is definitely something that I would really, really say that, you know, whoever's watching this, go watch it.
What platform is that? Netflix?
You know, I don't know where it's at. I know that it is by Ricky Lake. And so I don't know everyone's age, but I'm telling my age here, but if you remember in the 90s, listen, you remember the Ricky Lake show, and she home birthed both of her babies. And when she learned what was happening in the hospital, she made a documentary to just teach the masses about the history, about how normal it is, how beautiful it is, and all the things. And so just to touch on that, that's the documentary that really changed my perspective. What was the name of the one you said?
So Aftershock is on Amazon Prime, maybe.
Okay.
And it's about Black maternal health.
Got it. Okay.
Of Black maternal health and how we don't have the same care, or we're not treated the same in these
settings. I see.
And
got it.
How prevalent it is for the Black woman to, you know, not make it home with her baby in her birthing experience. I watched it once while I was pregnant, which was hard. And then I watched it again when I wasn't pregnant. And it's very informative. And it also talks about the midwife, and it talks about how, you know, we all used to be birthing babies, and then they took the midwife out and put in the man and put in the gynecology, you know, and it made it very patriarchal, where
absolutely
birth used to be like a rites of passage and used to just be women, and it used to, you know, it's just this thing where we just held space for our, you know, our sister, whoever, and in a holistic, basically, a way. And now we're just dependent on the medical system. Like I said,
completely.
Where it's like, you know, there are factors where, you know, your birth is a high risk thing. So like for me, I made sure that I was staying under the radar, especially as a Black woman who, you know, preeclampsia and all this stuff. So I had to make sure that I was, you know, under the radar so that I could have this home birth. Me, like you were inspired by that movie. And I realized I've wanted to have a home birth since I was like 9 years old. I used to tell people, when I have a baby, I'm going to have my baby in water. I'm going to have my baby at home. And it's like, girl, what you talking about? Like, and everybody used to be like, what is she talking about?
You know what, Bianca? I love that, because here we are, two women who have both home birthed, right? And I never planned to have a baby at home. That was never the plan. And to be quite honest, I have a 13-year-old that I birthed in a hospital. And how traumatic and horrible that experience was. And I've seen how, even though I went in with a birth plan, once you get there, they take that all away from you, right? And so one of the things they really, really do is give you Pitocin. I'm sure you know about Pitocin, yes?
Absolutely.
So you can go to the hospital. So this is for my ladies who's like,
but it also, Pitocin, it also lengthens your labor.
Exactly, which is why they give you epidural. So here's what happens. You get there, let's say you're 4 centimeters dilated, you're cool and you're not in a lot of pain and you're like, okay, I could do this, I got this. The people on staff want you to hurry up and have your baby, which is why they ask you to C-section, right? Okay. So when they give you Pitocin, they are now making your contractions faster and harder, faster and harder. So when you went in there without the plan of needing drugs, now you're having inhumane contractions, unnatural contractions.
Oh, exactly.
You're made to think you can't handle it, but they put drugs in you to make you not handle it. And had you done it naturally, you would have been able to handle it, right? But they don't tell you these things. One of the things that I wanted to tell you as well, I've been in the medical field in Western medicine for 12 years. I bill for the doctors who do these things. They get paid in the hundreds of thousands when it comes to C-sections in the United States, and they get paid $20,000 or less for a natural birth. Okay. So please understand that when they are pushing you for a C-section, they are making more money and they're home before dinner.
But they're also, that money that they're making from them C-sections, they pay the anesthesiologist department. That's their salary, those C-section births, which is crazy.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it makes it, now they need the OR, right? So they can charge you way more. Now they are booking the OR. They're booking more. I mean, you name it, amount of people that needs to be in an OR, which is an operating room for people who aren't in the medical field. Right? Versus just laying in the bed of the maternity ward and giving up the bed. Like, boom, there could be a doctor and a nurse. That's it. You go in the OR, now we have a staff of 8 to 10 to pay. So you better believe they're running it up, right? Hey. And to get you there, everything they put in your IV with the epidural and the Pitocin and all of that, they charge for each of that as well.
Have you ever looked at your itemized bill after giving birth? My brother was telling me, like, their bill, they had $70,000 on the bill that they, that out of nowhere,
right?
Just that's, added to the bill out of nowhere.
That's exactly what it is.
Bill, I wouldn't have even seen that. You know, people think like circumcision and all this shit is just included. And I said, no, you paying for skin and skin. You paying to hold your baby. You paying for
every gown you wore, every gown they changed, and you thought, oh, they're trying to keep me fresh. No. They don't care about keeping you fresh. You're paying for that gown. You're paying every time they change the sheets. You're paying every time they brought you food. You're paying all of it. You are paying, okay? And then you're paying it to separate entities. You have room and board that is paid to the hospital. You have physician fees that is paid to the doctor. Listen, I could go on and on.
Be here, girl. But kill it.
Listen, regarding the statistics, one of the things that I think it's really important to talk about as well, when we talk about developed countries, we are supposed to be one of the greatest countries in the world. when you look at other developed countries, their C-section rate is between 3 to 8%.
And they
it
have
is between 3 and 8%.
They have more home births.
Our C-section is 33% and growing daily, and it is unfucking necessary. Are we allowed to cut here, Bianca? I'm sorry.
It's fine. It is okay. More geared towards Black and Brown women. You know, absolutely. As soon as they put your ethnicity in, you're like 80% liable to have a C-section. So after I had my home birth, which we'll go into our experiences, and I want to know, you know, your hospital experience versus your home birth experience, because you have both.
Sure.
But after my home birth, I had went to the hospital like 2 days later to see if I needed stitches. Now, girl, after I didn't push the baby out naturally, I was so petrified to get stitches. Like that, I was just so like, I'm not going. I'm scared to get stitches. But I went, and the nurse, the first thing she told me, I asked her if she had kids. She said, yeah. She said, I wouldn't have another one though. I said, why? She said, you know, I've been a nurse for many years, and she was like, you know, I just see the amount of C-sections that go on. And she said, 9 times out of 10, it's not because they need the C-section. It's because a lot of these babies come in the middle of the night and the doctors aren't on schedule. So they're on call. So they get here to the hospital and they want to get back home. So they schedule a C-section. And my friend's sister just had a C-section recently. And she was like, yeah, I have 2 people in front of me. And it just made me feel like, oh, you're just a number. Like, you're literally, like, waiting in line to get your C-section. Like, you're waiting to get your car serviced or something. Like, it's like, yeah, I'm
totally.
Just.
They want to schedule it like it's a tire rotation. And like I said, be home by dinner, right? And one of the other things to consider as well is they will tell you that things require a C-section that does not. Just because you're, you know, your blood pressure got elevated in that moment, or your heart rate got, you know, elevated in that moment. And again, I just want to put out a disclaimer. I'm not saying if the cord's wrapped around that baby's neck, you go get a C-section. There are situations that are emergent that require a C-section. But just because your baby hasn't turned around does not mean that just because the baby's breech, nope.
You don't need a C-section.
None of that.
Home births all the time with breech. Nope.
Yeah, no, totally. And so I think it's important for us to advocate for ourselves as Black and Brown women, for us to educate for ourselves. And if you are not in the space or mentality or whatever capacity to do that for yourself, I think it's really important to find women like myself, like Bianca, who can advocate for you, who's been here, who's done that. Because at the end of the day, when you walk into that hospital, in case you do have to walk in that hospital, they don't get to tell you what to do with your body or your child. And I think that's one of the things too, that we got to take the stigma around that. It is still
our right as parents. You need to know your rights as parents. You need to know that you can deny things and not be negligent to you or your child. You know, like, I've learned so much in the birthing space through my experience of just advocating for myself. No, I'm not doing this vaccine. No, I don't want vitamin K. No, and honestly, like, so when I first went to my first appointment, I already knew I was having a home birth. But once I told them, I've read the energy and they was against it. They were like, oh, well, why don't you just do like a birthing center at least? And I was just like, you know what? I ain't going to bring it up no more. And I never brought it up again. So the whole
that was your family perspective?
No, that was the doctor's perspective. My family.
Oh, of course.
My family. I got a lot. It was up and down with people. You know, everybody wants to put their experiences on you. And
on
it's,
you.
That's not my experience. I don't care. Oh, I had 3 kids. You're going to need that epidural. Oh, I pray for you. No, don't pray for me. Pray for those women that's having these babies in the hospital. That's what you need to pray for. You know what I mean? And so I was going to my appointments. So this whole time they're thinking I'm having a hospital birth. They kept talking about C-section since I was like 6 months pregnant. And it's like, oh, you're overweight. Oh, this, oh, that. And I just was like, you know what? I just have to stay below the radar of not needing a C-section. You know, I come in, my blood pressure was always fine, but it's like, oh, you're prone to preeclampsia because you're Black. Like, that's it, because you're Black. That's not because
right.
You have any other signs of preeclampsia. It's just because you're Black. And then they kept saying like, oh, I just want you to have enough energy to be able to push the baby out. And I realized, because I've always been scared of childbirth. And my mom kept asking me, she's like, are you nervous? She's like, you don't seem nervous. Like, you seem pretty calm. And I realized I'm not scared of childbirth. I'm scared of having a baby in the hospital.
Right. That part. Listen, the taboo of it, to touch back to how it became patriarchal in the early 1900s. Again, if you watch the documentary, Please go watch it. You'll see it. But one of the things that was really important is they started to frame childbirth as women being possessed. When men came into
the way we would scream.
And convulsing our body and like just, you know, all the things, right? Or we might growl, which totally helps labor. I growl the time. I love it.
Primordial growling is very, yes. That should help me a lot.
I can't wait to get into that. But what men made it seem like is something, we were possessed and something had come over us. And what they used to do is the minute that you, they would shackle you to the bed, women would leave labor and delivery with metal basically stuck to them. After they delivered the baby, they would go get the baby and take the baby and parade it around and leave that woman in a pool of her urine, her feces, and all of the things. That is how births were treated in this country in the early 1900s. And just to know that alone, it doesn't matter how much we've progressed. I feel like it'll never be safe.
No, it's, and you know, the father of gynecology, James Marion Sims, who was literally, you know, I forgot what college it was that they had a whole, was it Penn State? Had a whole statue of him. And he was literally using Black women as test subjects for like vaginal fistulas. He was doing these procedures on Black women, wasn't giving them any, you know, anesthesia, nothing, because they're taught that Black women didn't feel any pain. You know, he killed so many women. His education for gynecology was only for like a year. He killed wow. So many women, and then just moved to the next state and like literally just kept practicing. And
wow, he became
the father of gynecology. And I learned that is becoming a womb, you know, in my womb wellness education, that we're literally looking towards a man as a father of gynecology, but somebody was literally torturing women.
Correct. And we can't, here's the thing. I'm all about the union of a man and a woman. So I don't want this to come off the wrong way. But we cannot look for men to tell us how to birth a child when they do not.
Not to mention the reason why we even lay on our backs during childbirth in the hospital.
Oh God.
Is because the man visually used to jack off to a woman's vagina.
That makes no sense. Gravity alone should tell you that you do not birth a baby laying down.
Laying down on your back. I when I gave birth to Seven, I was on my hands and knees. When I went into the hospital to get my stitches, he was like, you don't even need stitches. Like, you don't even have the tear of normal women. Like, how did you give birth? And I said, I gave birth on my hands and knees. I said,
that is so weird that they wanted you to get stitches. Is it because you tore or what happened?
Yeah, I did my inner lip on the right side tore. So I wasn't sure if I needed stitches or not. Because girl, everybody complains about that first poop. Like, oh, when you take that first poop, that's like hell. Girl, when I peed, because I didn't have the tear in the perineum area, I had it up at the top near the urethra. When I peed, I felt like I was in hell. Like
it was
so bad that like I didn't even get to produce milk in the first week or so. I didn't produce milk for almost a month because that first week I wasn't drinking a lot of fluids because I didn't want to pee. Like every time I went to the bathroom, it was like giving me anxiety. Like I felt like I was like burning.
Oh my God.
So when I went to the hospital, they're like, you know, you don't need stitches. You just need to let it heal on its own. And it healed fine. But he was really right. That I didn't need stitches. He's like, first of all, when I got there and I laid down, he was like, well, maybe next time you have a baby, you might want a medical professional. And I didn't say nothing. Then he looked at my, he was like, oh, wait. He was like, how'd you get birth? I said, at home by myself.
Okay. So first of all, let's back here. Let's talk about this.
Yes.
Most midwives are a registered nurse. They are medical professionals. So what we're not going to do is let a man gynecologist talk down midwives. A midwife, if you go and get yourself, okay, so let's talk to the person who just knows nothing. I had a midwife and a doula. So I had two midwives and I completely recommend this. They were from the same birthing center. And I had the option of either do it at the birthing center with these two midwives, or they can come to my home. The importance of having two midwives, you guys, I really, really advocate for this, is because there needs to be someone to take care of you, and there needs to be someone to take care of that baby. Because when that baby comes out, if something goes wrong and you both need attention at the same time, you need two RNs at your house, okay? And so I really, really recommend that. Also, not only should your midwife be a registered nurse, now not your doula. Your doula doesn't need to have any type of medical education, but your midwife should. Point blank, your midwife should have some kind of medical backing. They should also be coming to your house with an IV on standby, with some antibiotics on standby. There should be all this stuff that they come fully equipped with, where if the only thing that went wrong that you had to go to the ER is that, okay, they're going to call an ambulance, but everything else, weighing that baby. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the truth. Even within the 24 hours, the newborn well care visit, they came to my house to do. They pricked her little foot in my house.
I did his well care visit later. Would I do it the same exact way again? I would definitely have a home birth again. I would probably have a midwife. Not to say nothing went wrong. I mean, however, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck twice. And I didn't know. I didn't know until they didn't tell me right away. They told me like later on. So I was very comfortable with how I did things, but I would probably have a doula and a midwife next time, but I definitely wouldn't be going to the hospital step.
Yeah. So I did both things. So let me tell you, I did similar to you, where I let the hospital think I was going to have the baby at the hospital just to utilize their resources. Right. So obviously I have a corporate job. I have Kaiser for free through my job, right? I work in healthcare, like I said, but I knew I wanted to do a home birth. And so we private paid, I think it was $6,000 at the time. Granted, this was back in 2016, 17, guys. So I think prices probably have changed. But at the time it was $6,000. And like I said, it include prenatal, it include postnatal. They came and did the well baby stuff. They did all the things. One of the things that my midwife really, really told me was important is that when you go to, I don't want to say Kaiser, but just any hospital, every time you go, they're going to try to hit you with an ultrasound. Let's talk about that. It stresses the baby out. You don't need to do an ultrasound every time you go to the doctor.
But even when, I didn't do an ultrasound every time I went to the doctor, but even when you're in labor and you're in the hospital and they want to come check you every...
And put their hand in, you don't need to do that.
You don't need, that stresses the baby out. Like,
absolutely. And again, with me having Ethan in the hospital and Scarlett at home, I got to see both. I'm telling you, every time they came in there for the hospital birth and put their hands in me, I was so irritated. I was so hurting. I mean, it was just like, I was over it, right? You know, sometimes your contractions happening in your vagina. The last thing you want is someone putting their hand repeatedly every hour in your vagina. Like, it was so obnoxious. And so what I really loved, to tell you the truth, my hospital birth, I was in labor for 36 hours. My home birth from beginning to end was less than 2 hours. If that doesn't tell you already that the level of stress in your body, a hospital, you're going to have fluorescent lights. Fluorescent lights are not natural. Your baby has been in a dark, warm womb for 10 months. And the minute they hit earth in the flesh, now they're in a cold hospital room with
voices,
fluorescent lights.
Voices they don't know.
Voices they don't know. Exactly. And that is not a look. I completely, with the home birth, the lights were dim. I birthed in warm water. And so when the baby came out, she was just already comfortable because it was the same temperature as she was in my body, right? And like, just all the things. I actually wanted to touch base too, if it's okay, on the umbilical cord.
Yes, but one second.
When you have a baby.
Did you feel like your demeanor of your baby born at home is different from your baby born in the hospital?
Absolutely.
Calmer, right?
Absolutely. My demeanor was different. I didn't create breast milk with my first child. I was so stressed out. I couldn't get him to latch on. It was all the things going wrong that could have went wrong. They had to slice me. They did episiotomy all the way from my vagina to my anus. Okay. I was not cleared after my hospital birth to go and have sex until 6 months later. That is how damaged I was down there after my hospital birth. Okay.
You had like perineum trauma.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so with the home birth, there was always the possibility that those stitches can kind of reopen or I can tear. A lot of people will try to make you feel like after you've had a hospital birth, a home birth can be this.
Or just like after you had a C-section, you can't have a vaginal birth. Like they
That's
always,
not true either. It's literally called a VBAC. It's literally a thing.
you can have
That's
it
not
either.
true at all.
Like,
Yeah. I actually, one of my best friends, her first child was a C-section and her second child was a home birth. She lives in Ghana. She just did a home birth. Baby girl is almost, what, a year and a half. And it's so all of these myths that people tell you, like, that's why I'm here. I'm so glad that you're doing this because we have to debunk these myths. It's not true. You can do all the things, right? And so I definitely think the demeanor of the child is different. I think the demeanor of mother is different. That dopamine and those endorphins and those happy hormones that's supposed to come after you have a child, Bianca, I didn't have that with my son. I was in a complete stressed out state in that hospital. With my daughter, I finally got to feel it. It was tears coming down my because it was just all natural. Nothing blocked those happy hormones from coming to me and being all goo goo gaga. I wasn't in a room full of strangers and I wasn't freezing and shivering and I wasn't, you know, all the
You
things.
could eat little things if you felt like it during labor, drink your coconut
And my
oil.
jams were on YouTube, girl. I had the meditation music on. I had the candles going, all the things to add to, add an element of a
Essential
safe
oils, maybe
space.
incense,
Totally. And you just make it a vibe. Listen, I make it a vibe to do the dishes. I'm just a vibe. I light incense to clean my kitchen, girl. It's a vibe. Okay. So, but all of these things matter. And if we know that, then why wouldn't we bring that into the most beautiful experience of our lives? Why would we hinder ourselves from being in uncomfortable, unsafe spaces instead of our home? You know what I mean? And so, one of the big differences in hospital birth is the umbilical cord. As we know, the umbilical cord is passing all of our nutrients and our vitamins to our baby. That cord is something to do that. And so, when you have a baby in the hospital, the minute that the baby comes out,
It cut it so
they
fast.
push out your placenta forcefully because this is a business and they need the bed, they need the room. You get out, somebody else come in, right? And so they forcefully push out your placenta.
Mom
Your
said
placenta
that
is called the afterbirth because
after
you're supposed to birth it. You are supposed to birth it. You are supposed to wait until your body naturally is ready. You will receive a second set of contractions and you will labor that placenta as we were naturally supposed to, as God created us to do.
Lily.
When the placenta comes out in your home birth, you get to then now wrap up that placenta in a towel or in a bag. So while you're holding the baby, you're also holding the placenta. In a hospital, what do? They hand the scissors to the dad and say, umbilical cord immediately because they want you out of there. Realistically, for the next 45 minutes to an hour, whatever you ate for dinner, breakfast before you birthed that baby, that umbilical cord is still thumping and it is still passing nutrients. So when you home birth a baby, you get to not only wait and birth your placenta the way you're supposed to, but you also get to wait until those last minute nutrients and vitamins are passed to the baby before you just cut off their supply. Before your boobie becomes the only supply, right? So find
To
a
mention,
green
it's a lot of
smoothie.
cells, it's the iron, it's just a lot of things that the baby, it helps build their immune system,
Absolutely.
For
Absolutely.
me, I wanted to have a lotus birth, which is, for those who don't know, when you keep the placenta attached. But my partner wasn't really keen on, oh, I don't want to walk around with the placenta and the baby and this, this, and that. I said, all right, whatever. So I ordered these umbilical cord cutting scissors off Amazon. They were the cheapest things on earth. They sent me some plastic ass scissors. So we over there trying to cut. I waited for it to start pulsing and stuff because I'm like, all right, if we're gonna cut it, we're still gonna wait for, everything to pass through. So we went to go cut it. It took us like 45 minutes to try and cut it, and we only, it's an organ. We only like pierced it, and I was like, you know what? I think spirit is telling me that we need to just leave it. So we just put it in a bag and we left it, and I ended up having the lotus birth. And we kept it attached. It was like 4 days before it fell off, and it's in my freezer.
That's beautiful. And what do you plan to do with the placenta? I planted mine.
Yes, on his first birthday, I want to plant his.
Got it. Okay. So that's what we did as well. We planned it ours.
Mom told me, she said, you know, when you're in the hospital and they press on your stomach to like, to, you know, birth the afterbirth, she was like, that sometimes hurts more than labor.
Absolutely. You know? Agreed.
So for me, my placenta, I don't know for you and your home birth, because I did hear that home births and the placentas does take longer to, you know, birth sometimes. Mine took 2 hours. I was literally
okay.
Bed, attached with seven for 2 hours before I felt the contractions to actually birth the placenta. And she was like, you know, you can rub on your stomach, like lightly. She was like, but we're not going to be doing that pressing stuff. You know, just let it come out naturally.
Right.
And it came out naturally. It was super healthy. And
yeah.
I wanted to encapsulate, but I had left it out and I didn't, because, you know, I didn't have the notion anymore of doing a lotus birth. So I didn't dry it out with the herbs and all that salt and stuff. I just put it in the bag, and then it started to smell after a couple, like 4 days.
Okay.
And then it fell off and I just put it in my freezer. So I'm like, oh, encapsulate. I'm like, no, it was already sitting out. So I'm
right.
It when, you know, his first birthday.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, yeah, we pretty much, I think I birthed the placenta probably like an hour later, and it was so close to the edge, like it was so close to the edge that it was really like a cough to get it out. It was really, and to have felt the difference of how they forcefully took it out at the hospital, and I'm agreeing with whoever told you that, hurts way more to birth that afterbirth in a hospital because they force it out of you. They really do. And you're already so raw and tender. And then for them to push on you like that, oh man, it's like CPR pushes, but on your stomach, on your uterus that just birthed the baby, right?
Like, imagine doing that when you have your period or something. Like, nobody wants to go through that.
Exactly. Yes. And so the reason I asked Bianca what your family, you know, what was their perspective? I think a lot of times women want to have a home birth, but they don't feel supported. And I think that that's something we should maybe discuss too.
I didn't get a lot of support.
Me either.
I got a lot of what if, what did this? And then, you know, my mom lives across the country and I opted of her not being here during my birth. And people were like, are you crazy? You don't want to have your mommy? You don't feel like you're going to need your mom during that experience? And as much as I would have wanted to share the experience with her, she's such a worry, has a worry, anxious energy that this is, I needed a peaceful, positive container. And I didn't, like, I stubbed my toe and she's like, you need to go to the hospital. So, like, I didn't want her to see me in pain and just feel like, oh, she needs to go to the hospital. You know what I mean? She's just going to
totally change
the whole energy. And that's what I learned about, in that instance, creating boundaries for my family, for my son. In that moment, had to step outside and be like, you know what, Ma, I can't have you here because I need to be a certain energy. And unfortunately, you don't have that energy, to the point where when I went into labor, I never told her the whole day I was in labor, in and out the pool, walking around. I didn't tell her I was in labor. She's texting me. She had to work that day. And she's like, hey, I got to work all day. You know, I'm not gonna be able to be on the phone because we talk on the phone throughout the day. And I'm like, yes, I don't even got to be on the phone with her today. Like, so she texts me, hey, how you doing? How's it going? How you feeling? And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Then she texts my man like, hey, how y'all doing? We good. You know, just been busy today or whatever. And then when he was born, like once the placenta came out, I called her with him.
She
didn't tell me. And I'm like, no, because like, I didn't even need your energy from there. You know, of just being worried. I just want to, you know, go into this experience, be positive, and come out and show you your grandson.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I had to do the same thing. So with my hospital birth, I had my mom and my sister and my children's father in the room. And I learned very quickly that if I ever had another kid, I was going to do it alone. And by alone, I obviously mean with my partner. And I'd like to actually shout that out. When you said that you grew up and you knew you were going to home birth and all the things, girl, I did not. Okay. Like I said, I went to school to be in the medical field. And so I used to really believe in Western medicine until I learned more and more about it. Right. So with that said, when I told my family that they could not be at my home birth, they did not take well to it. You know, they did not take well to it. And the way it had come up is from my children's father, who was like, hey, what if we home birth Scarlett? And I was, my initial response was like, it ain't your vagina, it's mine. And I beat the drums. What are you talking about? You're crazy. And I was like, no. I was not on board. And he showed me the documentary. I said, the business of being born.
Wow. I'm going to watch it today.
And so literally, he showed me that documentary. And then I kind of just went down this rabbit hole. I started watching these TED Talks. And that's when I learned how the rest of the world, Norway, for example, if you live in Norway, they give you a $5,000 stipend to hire a midwife to have your baby
at home. Yep.
I was like, well, what is wrong with America? Why are we doing this? Why aren't we saying, yeah, you can have babies at home and you don't need to be in a hospital?
We have the highest morbidity deaths. Like, we have the highest C-sections. And it's just like, why can't we have our babies at home?
Exactly. And so similarly, you know, and with me being, my ancestry being from India, listen, we've done this from generations. Stop it. What are we scared of? But it was a lot of fear being put into me with some of my friends who are, you know, Americans, and some of my family who, you know, are either from Fiji Islands or by way of India.
They're American. They forget. Even your family from India, they're Americanized. They forget their way.
Absolutely. No, and that's what it is, because they listen. You have to understand that even the people that still live in these countries or came from these countries, they are still conditioned to Western mindset, right? So it doesn't matter if they grew up in these countries, whether you talk about India, different countries in Africa, different countries in the Middle East, their dream is to supposedly live the way we live. They think that we have this great glamorous life here. And maybe when it comes to economy and things like that, I don't want to sound, you know, like we are very fortunate here, but our medical stuff ain't what it's made out to be, friend. It's not. And so it's almost like, you're right. They come here, they become Westernized, and then they forget the roots of like, hey, you didn't grow up going to the doctor. We boiled ginger on the stove when we had an infection, right? We pulled out the eucalyptus oil when people couldn't breathe. We weren't buying Vicks in a store, right? We weren't doing these things. And so, you know, we had chicken pox. You take a cold bath and turmeric. That's how Indians handle it. I don't know how other people handle it. But we're not going to get no calamine lotion with all the products in it. No, we don't do that. And it's like people forgot. And so I definitely, in my journey as being a first generation American who, you know, my parents came from another country, bring it back. I want to bring it back all the way, not even for just for home birth, but for all the things, and really normalize that we don't need the hospital or the pharmacy to heal ourselves, period, to birth our babies, period. And so, yeah, I'm just, like I said, I'm just so glad that you're doing this and creating spaces like this where even me and you who have different stories and maybe come from different backgrounds and all the things, where we can all agree that home birthing is the way, that you have resources, that you have people to have your back, even if your family doesn't, even if your friends doesn't.
I think it's because, like, you know, we're taught that, you know, as me being like in the women's health world and period culture, we're taught that even our periods have to be painful. You know what I mean? And birth has to be painful. And I just think that when you prepare yourself, not to say, I mean, yes, there's women that have orgasms in their childbirth, you know, but not to say that it's not going to be pain-free. Because I was listening to the other day, and it was like, you know, they always want to give you epidural and shit when you go to the hospital, as if, why is it such a thing to having a baby as a rites of passage, right? So why not feel that? Why not feel that experience as you go from maiden to mother? Covering up the experience? You know what I mean? Like, feel it. Feel like you take this rites of passage. It doesn't have to be excruciating. Like, my doctor was like, you had the labor. So when I went to my first postpartum visit, my doctor was in awe. She was literally almost in tears with my experience. Like, oh my God, like, I'm so proud of you. I love what you did. I love how, you know, you followed your gut. I wish everybody could have the pregnancy and the birth that you had. Like, she's just, every time I go, she's just like, give me a hug. Like, she's black and Indian. Aww. But she was just so amazed. And, you know, she was just basically saying, like, you had the labor of someone who had two or three kids. Like, your labor, I was in active labor once my water, like, broke. He came within like 40 minutes, but I started like contracting, like light, like early labor. Everything together was like 12 hours probably. To me, that was a long time. But she was like, no, like, there's women in 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 hour labor. She was like, you only really labored for 40 minutes for him to come. Like,
right.
Pushes and he was here. Like,
If I think environment, atmosphere, like your mindset, like you making the decision to not have people in the room that you knew were going to stress you out or make you nervous, all of that added to it, right? That's why you had such a beautiful experience, because you put up boundaries to say, hey, here's my space. You don't get to put up those boundaries in the hospital. Like, that's what we're trying to make clear. Oh,
right. And then I I did a lot of preparation. I did hypnobirthing. I meditated every day. I did yoga. I did Pilates. I swam. I took walks. Like, I was doing a lot of prep. I took tinctures. I took certain teas. Like, I was doing a lot of prep work. And that's why I'm really much advocating for the preparation of pregnancy. Even prior
Absolutely.
To pregnant, creating a healthy womb creates a healthy baby, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you want to get pregnant, say at the end of the year, I'd start like 6 months before trying to prepare my womb, trying to prepare my period, trying to just make sure that everything is on the up and up, you know? And then you can start doing things to prepare your pregnancy for your labor so that you don't have to have this excruciating, or even doing perineum massages to make sure that I didn't have perineum tears, you know? Laboring on me so that, you know, I worked with the law of physics, gravity.
Right. Right. So I pretty much birthed, I birthed in the squatting position, almost like if you're like squatting to poop, right? So my pool had handle, my pool was in my living room, and it was the kind that had a cushion for you to sit on and all of that. And it had the handles. And so I just grabbed the handles and I got on my feet and just got in the squatting position.
I was in the water all day. And then I started like convulsing, I guess, because, you know, your hormones be going up and down or whatever. So I started getting like shaking. And then in the water, I was like, all right, I'm getting a little cold. Let me get out for a second and then I'll get back in. When I got out, he was coming. So he ended up came on my bed. I was on the bed.
So I did not labor in the water. I birthed in the water.
Labored in the water. Birthed on my bed.
Oh, okay. So that's a different experience. Yeah. How were you guys maintaining the temperature to make sure that it stayed the right temperature?
So we filled the pool up with the temperature from the sink in the bathroom, but we kept boiling water on the stove just to make sure that it stayed warm the whole time.
Okay. So I liked the idea of like walking around while I labor. I kind of moved around on my birthing ball. I got on my hands and knees. Mm-hmm. I did some yoga, but I was like constantly moving around.
We were dancing. Yeah. We were walking outside. We were doing the birth ball. We was in the water. I was doing a whole bunch of different modalities. And then I was getting like, so once I'm like, I prepared my bed anyway. I had the mattress cover and all that stuff just in case. So like when I had time to push, I was getting irritable because she wanted me to like lean on the birth ball on my bed and like push that way. And in that moment, I just wanted to do my own thing. Like I felt myself kind of like, you know, you go through dimensions, especially when it's not. Everybody's like,
Know what to do. Everybody's that's the like, secret. Oh, you're here's not the secret.
Your childbirth. You're not gonna remember your child. It's gonna be a daze. No, it's not a daze for me. I remember everything.
Yep. Every detail.
I was very present and I didn't have no drugs, you know? Right. So it was beautiful though. And I don't, like I said, I feel like you should feel it. You should feel this transition of experience that you're about, this journey that you're about to embark on. Like I said, it's a rites of passage. It shouldn't be. We medicate our womb so much. You get your period, you want to take Midol. You know, you get pregnant, you want to get epidural, you want to get Pitocin, you want to get all these stuff. We're just like weakening our wombs, you know, we're just drugging her up. And it's like, hear it. Hear the voice of your womb and allow yourself to like feel that transition. And I felt the ring of fire so much. I remember like sucking him back in. I remember trying to suck him back in because I felt it. And they were like, no, he's here, push it. And I'm like, I can't. And then I'm like, he's tearing me. And my partner said, he was like literally watching. He was like, I saw exactly where when he tore you. Like I saw it split. Like, and I'm like, And then I just knew like once I got the head out, I was like, oh my God, it's the shoulders. And I just remember my doctor saying, I just want you to have enough energy to push him out. And that's just what I kept telling myself. And then I just like did just one big push and I just Yep, exactly, Seven. Got his shoulders out and he just flew out. Like,
he just swam out. Yeah, that's what I said. They just swim out.
It was
so beautiful. No, the ring fire is real. And like, okay, remember in my hospital birth, I was so doped up. I didn't feel anything. I didn't even feel myself push. And so they're looking at the monitor for my contractions and telling me when to push because I can't feel a thing.
That's why some women's tears be so much, so third, fourth degree, because you're drugged up so much you can't feel yourself push.
You can't feel what you're doing.
You're tearing yourself.
Listen, so when I tell you that my home birth, like, I just knew what to do. So even if, I just want to say this, even if someone doesn't prepare themselves by walking and doing all the things or watching documentaries and reading books, and you're like, you know what, you didn't do any of that, I still want to throw it out there that your body knows what to do.
Yes.
Your body knows what to do. If a woman is in labor and, God forbid, dies during having the baby because she's just anywhere, anyways, anyplace, anytime, your body is still going to birth that baby. You don't even need to push. Your contractions would be strong enough to still push that baby. So there is no level of training that you necessarily need. You know what to do. You were literally made for this.
Reading something recently that said, like, if a mother had passed away during childbirth and you laid that baby on her chest, that baby could bring her back to life just with the dopamine.
I fully believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I fully but believe that.
But the fact
absolutely.
That you tear the baby from the mom so quick, you're not allowing that baby to heal the mom.
Right. Right.
Women that,
and my, that's the thing, too.
I didn't have my baby for 2 days. I said 2 days.
Right.
Like,
in the hospital, how quickly they take your baby away to put them on that scale and wipe off all the blood and whatever on them. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? Bring the baby back. Why are you taking my baby? What are you doing? You know? And so all of those things, those first seconds matter so bad. They should only be in the arms of the mother and the father. And that's it. Not even the midwife. Nobody, even if you do it at home, they should, those first few minutes are just so vital.
She didn't touch him. He delivered that, his dad delivered him, and she just coached. She didn't touch him, nothing. Like, you know, we didn't even
perfect.
Give
and that's exactly what happened with ours as well. Like, basically the father caught the baby out the pool.
Exactly. And all I kept hearing was, oh my God, he's so cute, he's so cute. And I can't see nothing. I'm still on my hands and knees, and I'm still trying to come back down to earth. Like,
right.
And she's like, Pat is back, Pat is back. And that's because his umbilical cord was wrapped around twice and they were just trying
to
breathe in. And he was fine. But like I said, but everybody kept saying, so what if the umbilical cord, you don't have a home, but what if the umbilical cord and what if this and what if that? And I stopped telling people that I was going to have a home birth because I was tired of hearing people put their projections.
Opinion. Yeah. Totally.
And it's like, but why do you always want to tell women, pregnant women, the worst part of your pregnancy experience? Why not tell them the good shit?
You know what? We're just such a fear-based society. Those are the people who watch the news every fucking day, okay? We are such a fear-based society. Yes. And so that's why it's important that if you make this decision, that you find your tribe, that you find your village of people who are going to support you and say, you got this shit. You are made for this.
Right.
And not the people that's going to say, what if something goes wrong? What are you going to do? And all that bullshit.
I was so sick of it. And it's like, you know, I moved to California and I was able to have the experience that I've always dreamed of. And it always just told me that, like, you were meant to be here. You were meant to come into contact in the path of these people to allow you to have this birthing experience. Because had you been in New Jersey, you would have been in the hospital. Because even my mom, when I went home for my baby shower, she's like, why don't you just stay and have the baby here? I said, how can I have a home birth here? There's no space, literally. Like, and I'm not doing it in a hospital. And I had to really stick to my guns. Like, and then people just expect it anyway. It's like, you're in this, you're the coochie shiro and you're in this women's health space and I expect you to have a home birth.
Yeah. Right.
So now it's like, I expect you to have a home birth. I expect you to homeschool, but I'm going to see if you're really going to do it. So now people just be testing my gangster. And one thing about me is when I say I'm going to do something, I don't give a fuck how long it takes. I'm going to do it. Like, yeah, he's born at home. His demeanor is amazing. He's amazing. He's an amazing child. And I'm going to homeschool him. And, like, you know, just stepping out and doing the things that I feel is right for my son. Like, regardless of
absolutely
what anybody's opinions or experience have been. Like I said, I'm in California for a reason. I'm not privileged to this information and these people for no reason.
Right. One of the other, I think, myths about pregnancy and what can really help, I know that you talked about walking and doing yoga and all the things, which is great. One of the things that's really great is like daily sex. Honestly, sex also prepares you to get ready to have the baby, you know, or
pregnancy. My man wasn't trying to have sex with me like that.
It definitely helps your labor and birthing process. Like,
help me out here. And it's be pulling
right.
teeth. And it's like, you know what? It's going to be a time where I don't want to have sex with you either. Watch.
Okay. The tables will turn.
Tables will turn. And you will be in the hot seat. And you're going to.
Yes.
But yeah, sex is that, especially within like, you know, those 30, when you hit the 30 weeks and more.
Yeah, so I was walking a mile every day. I had a green juice every morning. It like because I had given up caffeine, the ginger in my green juice was like my wake me up drink. So I did that every single day. I made sure my mindset was right. I definitely cut off people who were not supporting me. And not to say that those people aren't still in my life. They absolutely are. But they also realize that they don't get to speak into my life. I know that you mentioned homeschool. There's so many myths around that. There's so many people that don't support the fact that I homeschool my children either. And again, it's like, okay, well then I'll find my tribe. I'll find my village because I know this is the way and I don't need validation from the outside world. I know that the masses aren't going to support this. You know why? Because the news and the media hasn't pushed it and those are the people still watching the
Not
news.
To mention, we're taught to put our kids in school so they can end up working for the world.
They're literally teaching them how to be an employee. They get recess, lunch, and recess. What is that? 15-minute break, 30-minute lunch, and then your 15-minute break again. Or keep you in the
jail.
Jail. I was going to say the gates of the playground. Okay, yard time. Listen, ask to go to the bathroom. The whole nine. Like all of those things. And not to mention that the world that we live in today, with your children spending 40 hours a week at school, and you don't know shit about their teachers, that is scary. You don't know what they stand for. You don't know what beliefs they're imprinting on your young, young children. Okay. And so if it's something that your family doesn't align with, now your child is spending most of his or her day with somebody whose morals and values don't match what's in your home.
Because
it makes sense.
You know, I always say this, you can be the most phenomenal parent in your household and be on top of your kid. But once they leave your house, for school, mm-hmm. hang out with friends, mm-hmm. whatever, that influence, you have no control.
No control at all, at all. And so, yeah, I am definitely an advocate for homeschooling as well. I think that there is.
I think I get more backlash about homeschooling than I don't even know. It might be equal. I get so much backlash about homeschooling. Oh, what about immunizations? What about social skills? What about when he decides he wants to go to school? Like, I'm just
complete myths. Like, if you were to meet my children,
because you're gonna have so much to do with him, and you're never gonna have no time for yourself. And look at you, you got
none of that is true. So yeah. Let's talk about it. First of all, they don't need 8 hours a day of teaching. That's a myth.
Right.
Okay. I would say at the elementary level, you have about an hour and a half, maybe a day of like curriculum shit to teach. Other than that, you're teaching life skills, which is much more important. You're teaching them how to tie their shoe. You're teaching them how to cook. You're teaching them how to do all the things that actually matter. You're teaching them the importance of stating what they're grateful for in the morning instead of doing the fucking Pledge Allegiance. Okay. Yeah. Like what are we talking about?
Gratitude walks.
Listen, I love it. Nature walks. You could do nature walks with your kids and you know, the importance of all of the elements and like, and you know, whether you're spiritual or not, let's say you're not spiritual. Let's talk to the non-spiritual people. You could go to the museum and now you've spent the day actually teaching them about history instead of making them sit their butt at a desk and get in trouble if they can't sit still and be told that they need
boys, because boys aren't meant to sit still.
Nope.
If I put my son in school, they're going to diagnose him with ADHD because he wants to be a little boy and run around and exert his energy the way he's supposed to.
And that's exactly what they did with my son, Bianca. That's exactly what they did with my son. And that's how my journey in homeschooling started.
Dad, when no, he's not being challenged. You're teaching, you know, your other students are maybe a little slower than him. And he's a boy. He's not a girl. Girls are dainty. They sit, they listen. Boys are meant to do.
They're hunters. They're gatherers. They need a mission. Right. You didn't give them a mission. Using this pen and this pencil is not a fucking mission to them. They need a problem to solve. Inherently, that's what they're built for. That's what they are. They are problem solvers. They need to go hunt and gather and do all those things. And so when you have a child who doesn't want to sit there and you're told, oh, they're this, they're that, they're this, they're that, I quickly figured out like, oh, this is for me. I'm bringing him home, and totally got the backlash of, what about his social skills? He's not going to have friends. He's not going to. All of that is bullshit. Yeah. All of that is bullshit. Let's talk about this. The state that you live in probably will pay you to homeschool, which most people don't know. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And just, I'm going to do a shameless plug here. TracyDat.com, I do offer homeschool consultation, but I'm going to throw out some free nuggets for your listeners.
Okay.
They will pay you to do anything you want to teach your kid. So let's say your idea of PE is doing yoga. Let's say your idea of PE is them getting a black belt in karate. Let's say your idea of PE is they want to go do those parkour classes or hockey or ride a horse. They want to be whatever. When you go sign your child up for these classes, the state of California will pay for these classes because this is your child's physical education. Similarly, if you don't want to teach this bullshit history that they're trying to take out the book,
okay?
Social studies is social studies. It is what you want to make it. So we don't believe that, you know, my kids are biracial. Their father is black and he is of Moorish beliefs. And he's like, listen, we didn't all come here from slavery. We were already here, kings and queens. And we, like, what are you talking about?
I want to learn.
So we don't harp on the slavery thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we definitely don't in our home, because it's like, we could be whoever we want to be. And we've been here. We built all this.
We're royalty at the end of the day.
Period. So, we're all royalty at the end of the day.
Stupid ass, not color purple. I don't give a fuck about a color purple. I never did.
Period.
I'm tired of fucking slave movies. I don't care if it was an old movie that you remade or whatever, a musical. I don't care. Like, why can't we go back to talking about where we actually come from? Why is
so
it all?
Let me tell you some examples of like what I teach for social studies for my kids, because I'm not teaching that bullshit.
Right.
My son is really into anime, especially when he was in elementary. He loved anime and he loves Japanese culture, right? Sushi's his favorite food. And so what I did for social studies is taught him Japanese. It's a foreign language. Oh. It counted as his third grade social studies. It sure the fuck did. Similarly, if I want to teach about finances, that could count as social studies, right? Because what do? Government, economics, all that stuff. So here I am teaching my 10-year-old kid how to trade Forex and have him open a demo account. Yes, I did. Yes. And taught him how to trade Forex and counted that as economics, as social studies. When he was in the fourth grade, I taught him how to trade on his cell phone. I sure did.
Homeschool.
Homeschool is the way. It is the way. And for those of you who think like you have to teach your kid, they tell you what to teach. They can't tell you what to teach your kid. You can make your own curriculum. If you don't feel comfortable making your own curriculum, reach out to me and I will make you a curriculum. But we can choose what we want to teach our kid.
I think traveling is the best teacher.
Yes.
Like being able to homeschool and take your kid on a trip, you know how much they're learning? Like, but when you're in school, it's like, oh, I can't take you on a trip until you have winter break or spring break or summer. Like, no, we out. We out.
We're out all the time. All the time. And social, listen, that's a myth as well. Anyone who knows my kid, anyone who's watching this, listening to this, if you know my kids, then you know. My kids, you could leave them in a room full of adults. They will hold an eloquent adult conversation, make eye contact, do firm handshakes, and the whole nine. My son currently is 13 years old, and everyone tells me all the time, like, wow, what a respectful young man. He's so confident. He looks in people's eyes when he talks to him and things like that. They get that from being loved at home. They get that from being homeschooled. Because when you're one of 30 in a classroom, Where are you supposed to find your confidence? That's supposed to teach them to be social? How many kids are being scared to being called on by their teacher because they don't want to speak up or read in that classroom?
Or
You think
even
that
being
child
bullied.
is more confident?
Right.
No, they're not.
There's kids that wish they could be homeschooled. There's introverted kids that don't ever want to go to school.
Everyone's learning style is not to sit at a desk with a paper and a pencil, and you have to cater to your children's learning styles. And the truth is that even if you're working full-time, even if you're running a business full-time, it doesn't take that much of a time investment. It is very, very easy to work it into whatever is your
I
lifestyle.
think it's because we're taught to go to school for 8 hours that people think that when you homeschool, you got to homeschool for 8 hours.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, that is not, your life lessons can become homeschool. So, for example, with my daughter, she is 6 years old. She's in the first grade. I homeschool. She does second grade work because she's already ahead of the game, right? So with that said, if we're in the kitchen, it doesn't matter if I'm making pancakes for breakfast. She's pulling out the measuring cup and we're talking about fractions and we're talking about measuring. That is her math for the day. Now, if I put a couple of fractions on my whiteboard and she tell, and I'm, it's 1/3. And I'm like, what's that? And she's like, 1/3. I'm like, okay, well, how much would make a whole hole if I had 3/3? Okay, there goes her math lesson for the day. While we cooked pancakes and she had breakfast. And then I just followed up later in the day with a couple of questions to make sure she understood the concept, and we're
Right.
fucking done.
Right.
There goes math. There goes math. It's that simple. It doesn't need to be all these things, right? States of matter. We're talking elementary states of matter, liquid, solid, gas. You have water, you have ice. I'm sorry, make an ice cube. You just taught them science. You just taught them elementary science. You get what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I think that homeschooling, home birthing, like all of these stigmas, we gotta let it go. But it starts with your mindset. I cannot express enough, like, how many times you've even mentioned it was your mindset that
It
made
was.
your home birth so beautiful.
It was.
Yeah.
Because had I let everybody defeat me mentally with all of their projections, I would have never did it. I would have never
Totally.
did it because I wouldn't have had nobody else, nothing to work off of but y'all projections. You know?
Right,
That
right.
made me convicted in my own spirit of something that I wanted to do since I was a little girl that I pretty much had no notion of even. I mean, I guess I did, but you know. This is something that I really wanted to do forever. And I was like, I'm gonna make it happen. Like, and I don't care who says what. And then they got to the point where, like, please don't share experience with me because I didn't ask. If I wanna know,
Right.
I will ask you, you know?
Right. Right.
Not sharing the most positive part of your experience. Oh, I did it 3 times and I needed the epidural and then it wore off and then this and that. And now I got neurological problems. Like, I know so many people that got issues from epidural. Like,
Seriously, and the worst part of it is like I said, you can't feel it. So you're going to trust someone telling you when to push. Like, you can't feel it when you do an
she felt like
epidural.
she was getting an epidural from the waist down. She said her whole body was paralyzed. One of my friends, she had to learn how to walk again.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's horrible. For me, it was just like literally not feeling it. And then versus the home birth, you can totally tell when you're supposed to push because you could feel your contractions. You will feel your vagina saying, hey, push this thing out. Similar to, you know,
Not like.
for all the women listening, it's like when you can feel that you're ovulating. You know when you can feel that you're ovulating and scientifically your vagina is like, give me something, put something in here, something in here. That is the way that when you, if I can put an analogy to it, when you home birth and when you are naturally birthing with nothing, you know, no medical, no chemical thing in you, your vagina's like, okay, girlfriend, it's time to push. It literally tells you, like, you can, the same way your vagina thumps to say, give me something when you're ovulating, it's, all my ladies know, if you're at the
Right.
level where you know when you're ovulating, you know what I'm talking about. It's the same way for your vagina when it comes to birthing the baby. It's gonna thump, thump, and naturally start pushing. And all you gotta do is just do a sneeze, sneeze,
Right, but and then
and the
it's
baby's
like
there.
we're not even taught to breathe properly. Most of
No.
us don't breathe properly on a day-to-day anyway. We you know, it's very shallow breathing. So the more, you know, once you tune into your breath, that's really what helps
Yeah.
birth that baby, you know? And like you said earlier,
Absolutely.
like growling and like really like breathing into your diaphragm, like
all of those things. Hip openers. Hip openers are so important.
I had to stop doing hip openers at 7 months because I had pelvis symphysis dysfunction. I couldn't even exercise. I could barely walk. When I got pregnant, I was 105 pounds and I got up to 156. So it was just way too much weight on my little frame. And like, I remember every time I did yoga or pregnancy Pilates, I got stuck on the floor and my partner had to pick me up off the floor and I couldn't walk for like 3 days after that. So, and then even now postpartum, I had went to the doctor the other day because I'm starting to feel it on the other side. So now it's on both sides. And there's some days even now that I can't walk. Or it's just I'm visibly in pain to walk. So she's like, I need to go to a chiropractor and get an adjustment. But that's a whole nother thing because I'm scared of chiropractors. Like, I really.
Yeah, I think that a lot of what they do to manipulate your body has, even though in the short term it feels good, I think that in the long term.
Because you can become dependent on it. I know a lot of people that go to chiropractor have to keep going. You know, it's still westernized. It's like, okay,
we're going to steal the business. It's all a business.
Make you feel good for a little while so you can come back next month. What I do like is craniosacral. I do that where, like, it's kind of like the pushing the energy and the fluids through your system, you know, through like Reiki. Yeah.
Okay.
I've had that before and that worked wonders. So I might just do that because I'm not trying to go get paralyzed or nothing.
Right. I hear that. Yeah. I think, like I said, if I could leave your listeners with just anything, I would say that mindset, the people you're around, as it is with anything, right? Whether we're talking home births, entrepreneurship, whatever we're talking about, when you want to make a change and when you want to think outside the box and do anything that's great, there's always going to be people against you. And so it's really important that you find people that are like-minded to support you, whether it's home birthing, whether it's homeschooling. There are communities for all of these things. And so I would just say, definitely find your tribe.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest. Yes, Seven said so too.
You agree, man.
I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be even having this conversation. So
thank you
so much, Tracy, for your time and coming on. You are welcome to back on the platform anytime you feel, you know, you want to kick it with us. I really enjoyed our conversation today. It's nice to, you know, connect with somebody who's on the same type of time as you. And you know, I met you at Talia's Mystical Mixer. Actually, I had him probably like 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, because you were very pregnant when I saw you.
I was very pregnant. Okay. It's funny because on 111, Talia had another event there. The Cosmic's portal, and I brought Seven, and it was kind of like a full circle moment because the last time I was there, it was a root chakra event, and I was pregnant with him.
Wow! And I wanted to make it. That was my birthday, and I seen that she was hosting an event on my birthday. I was like,
oh, you are
poor. Yeah, no. I definitely thank you for having me. You know, and again, I just appreciate you creating spaces like this, sis, because we need more of this. We need to normalize these things, you know, to the point where instead of it being called an outside the box concept, there just won't be no fucking box, right?
Hey, like, I don't want to have
taboo
topics. Topics no more. Everything is not taboo. It's what it's supposed to
no,
be.
No, none of these things, your period or home birthing or homeschooling, none of these things have to be taboo.
Nothing. Like, let's talk about all of these things. Let's shine light on all of these things. You know, a lot of people are misinformed, and I just creating a platform for sisterhood, for healing, but for information, because we can't expect change if we're not in the business of educating people on their, you know, misconceptions on things.
Absolutely. Well, it has been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on Coochie Conversation.
Thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you all next week.